Hello, this is Bixby. Welcome to the Bixby Developers Chat Podcast. Here is your host, Roger Kibbe.
Hello, Bixby Developer Chat listeners. Today, I have the honor of talking to Otto Sunderland. Otto is the co-founder and CEO of Speechly. Speechly is bringing voice to mobile apps, websites, and all the devices around us. Otto, please introduce yourself.
Hey, Roger. Thanks for having me. Really delighted and excited. I'm Otto. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Speechly. My own background is a combination of tech, business, and entrepreneurship. And right before starting Speechly, I actually founded one of the leading management consultancies in the Nordics, focusing on digitalization. And I did that for quite a while before selling it off. And then after spending some years in my earnout period, I then joined my old study buddies in building Speechly. So that's my background in a nutshell. And maybe before my business career, I was also quite a nerdy guy. So I was very much in tech as a kid. That's my background in short.
As tech as a kid, so tell me about that. I think you and I might have a few things in common, actually, around that. But what kind of tech did you play with as a kid?
Yeah, so I started using computers as a very small kid. Actually, Commodore 64 was my first computer, and I was really, really into that. And then, I matured and evolved into the PC side and did all kinds of computers on the way. And actually started programming quite early, at like around 10 or something. Originally starting with languages like BASIC, Pascal, C, C++, and so on. And I was also quite immersed in the bullet board system scene of that time. So that was something where I was quite active. I had one of the most active BBSs in my home country in Finland. And I was also quite active in the local demo scene doing some real-time graphics programming. So interesting time.
You know, It's interesting. There's a whole younger generation who doesn't understand. When you turn on your Commodore 64, and I was an Atari guy, so I had an Atari 400 and later an 800. So there's a two competing platforms. The only thing you could do is you had to write a program in BASIC. It was exactly. A prompt there. There was nothing you could do with your computer unless you programmed it. And wow, BBSs, that really brings me back. Modems and that. Pre-internet, right? It was a community before the internet. Is people figured out a way to connect and you dial in and share, and there's little conversations and file sharing and that way back then. That was a few moons ago, but I fondly look at that and I always say that early exposure to technology made us all geeks and drove us to the careers that we're currently in today. So Otto, tell me a little bit more before you founded Speechly. You said you were doing some digital consulting work. Tell me a little bit more about your work before Speechly.
Yeah, sure. So actually, I did a career in my first career, I would say, was in technology. So I actually started during my studies. I was studying computer science and specializing in artificial intelligence in the kind of, you could think of it as the MIT of Finland, in the best engineering school. And I was really into machine learning and neural networks already back then. It's almost 20 years ago. And back then, you couldn't really realize all the amazing things you can do nowadays, but it was more, let's say, theoretical. But I was a firm believer that you could build some, this is the way in the future, you know, this is the future of artificial intelligence. And I was also a software developer at the startup back then, doing some SaaS software for investment analysts. So that was quite also interesting. That was also before the SaaS term was even coined. And I was teaching also programming at the university, and that's actually where I met my co-founder, Hannes. We used to teach programming together, and we were both into AI. But then during my studies, I don't know actually what really happened, but for some reason I had been for so long in tech that I decided to pivot my career. And I majored in business strategy and ended up doing management consulting. And because of my technical background, I was quite quickly gravitating towards projects that were tech-enabled. And during that time, especially this digitalization and digital kind of like disruption was already, you know, happening in the first industries that kind of really took the hit. And this was like 10, 15 years ago. And back then, especially the telecommunications and media industries were basically changing really, really fast. So I then basically became a digital management consultant in those spaces, flying around Europe, advising large enterprises on their digital strategies, on their digital transformation, working with topics like e-commerce, digital marketing, data, targeting, personalization, all these kinds of topics. And during that time, I also founded and own a management consultancy boutique focusing on these topics. And this was really on the early days, because nowadays, of course, everything is digital. But back then, digital was really the early trend that was coming. And it was a really good bet to start the company betting on that trend. I was able to then grow the company, internationalize it. I actually ended up, found myself living in the Netherlands, building some of the business there, and then traveling around Europe. And then at some stage, the industry was going through a consolidation. And then also my company joined another bigger consultancy in the field. And then I had already been through, like, the first part of my career was in tech. And then the second was in business / management consulting / entrepreneurship. And then I was really thinking, what could I do next? But luckily, I was reconnected with my old study buddy, Hannes, and that's how Speechly then got kicked off.
It's interesting, as you were talking, you were talking about the digital transformation. And I was thinking, you're right, there was this grand digital transformation that digitized businesses. But now I'd say we're doing an AI transformation. So businesses have largely been digitized. But now, okay, can I use AI to take some of all that digital data and kind of mine the gold out of that and really use this as a business advantage? So the digital transformation maybe has transformed into the AI transformation. So absolutely. Otto, what was your first experience with voice, with a voice assistant or doing anything with voice?
Yeah, so as a geek, I was, of course, looking at all the new technologies. So I can't remember the year or anything, but it was the 90s. And I believe it was on Windows platform. There were some dictation softwares back then, the early early versions of those ones. So that was something that I really, really liked. And back then, it was something that when you tried it, the accuracy really wasn't there yet. But even without the accuracy, you know, you could see that this is the way, this is really the future. You know, why on earth would anybody, when this accuracy thing can be nailed, be willing to actually use a keyboard, which is basically pretty much a quite non-intuitive way for a human person to, like, communicate with technology or whatever they're facing with.
And, got it.
Maybe kind of like another fond memory or not so fond memory about the early voice technologies I have is that I used to live in Spain. I was studying artificial intelligence there. And when I had moved there, my Spanish skills weren't that good. They were okay, but they weren't that good. And the local utilities companies had, you know, just introduced these new, amazing, innovative voice IVR systems that were the future. You could just speak and they would just skip all the IVR button number pressings and take you right to the right location. Yeah, sure. That probably worked okay for the native speakers, but you can imagine me as a non-native speaker trying to explain to the system what I'm trying to achieve. And I still remember the frustration back then. So
the funny thing is, Otto, we still have that today. I get an IVR. There's some IVRs that I understand are getting really good. But I got to tell you, just like a gut instinct, when I hear an IVR, I start pressing the zero button or how do I get to human as soon as possible? Even though I've talked to some people and as kind of the AI, the true AI and conversational AI has been brought into the IVR world, IVRs are getting actually pretty useful. But me, it's like a gut instinct. I'm like, oh no, IVR, get me out of this thing, right? So
yes, same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, kind of the scars of the past.
Yes, exactly. I start repeating that. Let me talk to an operator. Let me speak to a human being.
Yes, exactly. And there's even websites. Is it like gethuman.com or IO that tries to tell you how to best talk to a human quickly? But I think that will change. But so we got right up to when you founded Speechly. So tell me the story of founding Speechly.
Yeah. So Speechly was founded on the original idea of my co-founder, Hannes. So we used to study together, and I was the black sheep of our old study, artificial intelligence mafia. So we were a bunch of kids really into this topic, and I was the black sheep who kind of pivoted away into business. And my old study buddies got a bit, let's say, they were not that proud of me. So Hannes was one of those guys, and he continued on his tech track, and he then did his PhD in machine learning and then worked at Google and then Nokia and then Rovio, the makers of Angry Birds, and then found himself at Apple building the NLU for Siri. And he was part of the team that built the Finnish version of Siri, which basically meant rebuilding the whole thing from scratch, as Finnish language is, let's say, a bit special. And when Hannes returned back to Finland, he got some of our study buddies together, and we started looking into this voice area. And we had this vision of a novel type of voice UI, or actually it wasn't even in a way a novel idea, but we just had a vision for a voice UI that would be something that would work magically, a bit like the kinds of things you see in sci-fi movies where, you know, you speak and then things happen magically. So that was our vision. And we thought that's something that you should be able to realize. So we put together our team, our founding team, and started working on those problems and solving those. And we originally started using the existing technologies out there in the market. And quite soon we realized that even if we tried basically all of the technologies out there, the, you know, Amazon's, Google's, IBM's, Nuance's, Microsoft's, whatever there used to be at that time. That was already 5 years ago. And you really couldn't realize the vision we had for this technology. And this was a bit frustrated, so that's why we decided that we will actually need to rebuild the whole voice technology stack from scratch to be able to realize our vision. And that was something that drove us into building this highly technical founding team with people who had been building Siri and people who had been building Alexa, into basically scraping away everything that is known and rethinking how should the voice technology tech stack be built for the modern day. And that's basically still the path that we are on.
Got it. So I get that the founding kind of ideas and thoughts around it is rethink the promise of voice and rethinking the tech stack. Where are you right now with Speechly? What is Speechly doing right now? I know there's a grand vision. You're probably somewhere along that path and that vision. What are you doing right now with Speechly?
Great question. So for a startup, we are old. We are turning 5 years old this summer. So that means that we're age old. And that being said, as a deep tech company, you know, rebuilding something as sophisticated as this that basically haven't even been researched, not even built before, I think that's an okay time. So it has taken us this time to basically solve some of the basic issues that you need to solve to be able to build the kind of technology we've built. And then actually built and proven the core technology, working with early customers in validating that it actually works, and then productizing that into a suite of developer products that are very easy and simple to use. Just to kind of clarify, what's the kind of special thing? Why did these guys take so long to actually put together this voice technology stack? So the reason for that one was that we are actually doing speech recognition and natural language understanding, both of them in a simultaneous streaming manner. And this is unique. And this is something that we haven't seen in the market at all. And the reason why we want to do this stems from this original research and work we did with the existing technologies trying to build what we wanted to build. And we realized that basically all of the technologies work so that there is the speech recognition part that basically turns speech into text. And then there's the endpointing part of that one, you know, trying to understand when the user has stopped speaking. And then after that happens, typically after a small time of silence after the user's speech, then the transcript is returned. And then this is typically passed on to a natural language understanding, you know, process for extracting the meaning out of the user's speech, you know, the indents and the entities and the standard stuff. And when this is done, that is then passed on to the application-specific business logic, which then basically, you know, figures out, you know, how to respond to the user, whether we should say something, whether we should trigger an action. And then typically there is the feedback that is then triggered oftentimes nowadays as a speech synthesis. And this sequential processing leads into the situation that is quite oftentimes nowadays in the voice interactions is that there is a delay between the user speaking and them getting a meaningful response from the system. And this problem, solving that is an extremely complicated machine learning problem of how can you combine the speech recognition processing with natural language understanding processing in real time. And that research is really what took us quite a while. And now when we've gotten that piece of research done and the technology ready and proven, now it started to to move a lot faster to the market. That was a very long answer to a simple question.
Oh, no, but that's fascinating. It strikes me as is not only you talked about there's some latency as you go to those different levels, but I'd be curious if you feel, is there some loss of meaning? There's a lot of translation going on there. ASR to speech to text, then NLU, then actually the application. And I'm certainly very familiar with, you know, from the NLU to the application, you get a lot, fair amount of loss of meaning. But I have to think from the ASR to NLU, there's a loss of meaning too there. So that's fascinating. That's fascinating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the benefit, additional benefit in addition to the speed and the fastness of this combined streaming approach is that you can actually leverage some of the information or from the speech recognition part in the NLU part. So the intonations, you know, the silences and those parts, which actually allows you to do smarter and better NLU. So that is an additional benefit of actually combining those two processes.
Is as you're talking, and I was thinking about, we always think about conversational AI, there's two worlds. There's the speech world and there's the chatbot world. And they're really different. There's some commonality, but if you build your speech presence based on your chatbot, it's not going to be very good. But it strikes me as kind of interesting, compelling to think about. If we wait until we translate everything into text, we're almost forcing our speech application and our speech logic to act on text. And you're right, there's meaning to pauses. There's meaning to what happened to the way I say things. There's a lot of tonality changes in the way I say things that it, all that meaning is lost when I talk to the typical voice assistant now. And I, to my mind, that is one of the biggest gaps. It knows what I said, but not what I meant often. And exactly. So that's really fascinating what you're doing.
Yes, we are really excited too about it. And going back to your question about where are we in terms of our vision, now that we've been able to build the technology and prove that it works and package that into the product that teams can use to actually add voice into whatever products or, you know, projects they're working with, now is the interesting part, because the part of our vision that revolves around the interface transformation is really about, you know, making the human computer interaction more intuitive and more efficient and faster. And now this is the interesting part, because we are now at the stage where the technology is ready for exploring novel user interfaces and novel user tasks that can be rethought differently if you use, instead of a kind of like modality-centric approach, a multimodal approach, where you are actually able to add voice, as you could even say that like voice as a layer on top of your existing, you know, product or program or website or application. And that's super fascinating part. So we are now at the stage in our, you know, realizing our vision, where we've laid out the groundwork and we can finally ripe the collect the fruits of our work by being able to innovate and find these new problems that can be solved in a novel way with the multimodal approach. So super exciting times.
It is super exciting. It strikes me, Otto, as you're talking, right? As I remember back to the, when everything was Unix or DOS and it was all character-based. And I used to do WordPerfect for word processing, these 12 different key combos, and you learned them and things there. But that was really cool at the time. And then the GUI came along, and at first people didn't quite get it. And then it revolutionized so many things. All of a sudden, there were so many new things that I could do with my computer and with compute power because I had a GUI in front of me. And there's promise for voice in the same way. Now we have a totally different way of interfacing with our technology. What is things that we never thought about doing before? Or we're just super hard to do currently. Mm-hmm. And now voice will unlock it and make it really natural for humans. I get super excited, quite frankly, because not only that transformation, but voice is, as you mentioned, it is the human way of communicating, right? It's the first way we've had a human be able to communicate to a device in a human way, instead of I had to learn to type, I had to learn to swipe, I had to learn to use a mouse. The machine forced me to learn. So yeah, really fascinating stuff there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that it's the responsibility of computer scientists and, you know, the tech community as a whole to basically free people from the task of having to learn new interaction methods that are dictated in a way by the technology, like a keyboard or a mouse. That's like the most non-intuitive in a way for a human being to interface. And those are dictated by the kind of like technologies who are making the people have to adapt into their ways of interaction. And now I think that the touch was the first kind of like interaction paradigm shift that really actually took us really closer to a human way, because touching and swiping is already a lot more natural. And now the next big shift that we're going to see in the user interaction space is really into this voice driven or voice enabled, so that the voice can be used for all tasks where it makes sense to actually interact with the computer, because that it should be the computer's job to learn to interact with people rather than vice versa.
Yeah, you know, I probably want to put a quote about that on my wall, about it's the responsibility of AI to I think you're going to humanize the tech. Make the tech understand us instead of forcing us to understand the tech. And certainly we've spent the technology revolution has largely been about us understanding the tech. Not time to turn the tables and make the tech understand us as humans. Promising, amazing things there. I wanted to talk more about Speechly. I know if you go to your website, you have some examples of things that you do with it. Particularly, you have an example around e-commerce, which is near and dear to my heart. I used to work in retail tech for a long time. Tell me a little bit more about Speechly and e-commerce, or any other places where you're kind of excited about voice enabling.
Yeah, sure. So Speechly at e-com is a fascinating space because it's a space where people really spend time. They spend money there and they have a clear task. They want to have something achieved. And there's also a lot of frustration overall and a lot of dropouts. As e-com professionals, as ex-e-com professionals, Roger, if we can classify ourselves as that one, we know really well, and I hope that many people in the audience also know how kind of obsessed e-com professionals always are with the dropout rates and how to drive people through the funnel and ensuring that everything is so easy to do so that nobody can have any excuse or reason not to proceed to the next step in the funnel. Now, when it comes to that one, there's many parts of the funnel where major dropouts usually happen. And that's, you know, that's the problem that fascinated us in figuring out, okay, if we take a multimodal voice-enabled approach, how can we improve this experience? And in there, we've identified two amazing places where that can be fundamentally changed. And it's driven by the shopper's behavior. There's some people are in the mood for just browsing the options and aren't really ready to make the purchase. That's the one type of purchase behavior. And then the second type is the type of behavior where you know exactly what you want and you just want it really fast. And both of those ones are done offline and online. And then how Speechly, for example, can be used to cater for those experiences is that when you're, for example, trying to explore the options, it can be sometimes quite frustrating going through the endless product listings and product categories, trying to find the right options, using filters, trying to do searches, waiting for searches to load. And it can just be a frustrating experience. And with Speechly, you can actually very simply take an existing e-com website and then just start speaking to it. Okay, I'm looking for sneakers in size in white or black, or maybe from Nike, Adidas, and then you can then just start communicating with the website in an intuitive way, in a bit similarly than you would do if you would go into a store and start interacting with the clerk. So you're basically just, it's like a stream of consciousness. You're just starting to express, you know, when you start speaking, you usually don't exactly know what you will actually say, but you just start speaking. And that's something that usually with the current generation of technologies, it's a bit problematic because they're considering the whole utterance as the kind of the query, if you will. Whereas when you can just change your mind in black, no, actually in white or Nike or show me also from Adidas or whatever. So it allows these natural interactions. So that's for the product browsing. So that's amazing. So anybody interested in that one, I recommend you to go to fashion.speechly.com to try it out, because I think that trying is a lot more than trying to explain it with words. And the other one in this e-com space that is quite interesting is for the other behavior, when people exactly know what they're looking for. And they just want to execute the purchase fast. A good example is, for example, grocery e-commerce, where people, they know what they want. They want, you know, milk and butter and sausage and eggs or whatever they want. And, you know, they just want to do it really fast. And that's something where, you know, a voice-enabled experience can make a big difference. So, of course, you can do use assistants to add items to your shopping list and do replenishment orders. And that's super convenient for, like, stuff that you just want to get replenished. But when you start to for example, order your groceries or a week's worth of groceries, 100 items, then that task becomes quite tedious and cumbersome and nasty even. So that's, again, something that you can do very easily with your voice by just listing what you want to do and then seeing the visual confirmation that the system is getting, kind of understanding you. So there's a couple of examples from e-commerce that I believe that speech enables you to do very differently.
It's fascinating. I love those examples. It struck me, the analogy of how do we do shopping in the physical world and then take that to virtual. E-commerce has been kind of stayed rows and columns of things that you click through and things, and for good or for bad, Amazon, exactly, which I don't think is a great UI. They're great at fulfillment and not so great at UI, in my opinion, but they defined the way e-commerce works for a lot of people, and it hasn't really advanced. And I love this idea of thinking about how shoppers shop in the physical world and bringing it to the virtual world. I worked for Gap Inc. in technology, strategy, and architecture for many years. And we had this whole idea of these personas. These people would walk into the store and this is the mom and she's super busy and she just wants to buy the stuff for her kids as fast as possible versus the person browsing. And I think what you're talking about is taking that kind of idea, those different shoppers and different situations or different things they're buying, and then bringing that to digital and saying, okay, what's the best, fastest, easiest way to serve them? And certainly voice has a big place to play there, because I tell you, voice is all, it's such a great at input. I can describe something really complicated and get narrow it down and precisely get to something. Or you're right, it's imprecise. I'm kind of, you know, the analogy, the salesperson walks up to me. Well, I'm looking for this and I'm not sure. Sneakers, I really kind of like the Nikes, but I also like this and that. And they understand and they guide you through it and ask you back and forth. But, and it's all conversational. That is not clicking buttons and sliding things and filtering on a commerce site. It's the net result may be similar, but the process is really different. And that's a great example of humanizing tech and saying, exactly, we're going to build a front end that acts the way a human would try to find something and then filter down the commerce side. I love that.
And I think that the kind of the magic in that one is also in the multimodality part, because being able to leverage the visual screen estate in the communication, you know, provides the store, in this case, the ability to for example, throw a wide range of options to the users, and people are better able to process a wide range of options if they see a kind of visualization of those ones. And of course, in many e-com categories, you know, people would never buy things if they weren't able to see them. So try buying sneakers from an Alexa skill. So I'm not sure if there's many people doing that, but maybe if you know exactly what you're looking for, but I would personally never do that. And then the other thing is also that there is an inherent danger every time you interact with another person or a computer system with speech, is that the communication isn't perfect. There is no such thing as 100% accuracy. Humans make mistakes. When you speak to the clerk, they might not be understanding you. You might be changing your mind. You might actually be talking in a weird way. And there is always this kind of like a little bit of, you know, fuzziness in the interaction. And now this usually is handled in human face-to-face communication with visual and cues and facial expressions and nods and gestures. And when you have a screen in front of you, when you are interacting using voice, that allows the system also to provide you with real-time feedback so that it gives you as the user the confidence that, the system is actually understanding me, or it gives you an early warning sign that actually the system didn't understand the previous brand that I told them. So I can just correct that one and then I can just keep on with my task. And that's what makes this multimodal voice-driven approach so magical.
It's a situational modality, right? Use the best modality for the situation at hand and the best way to communicate. Voice, whether it's a UI, etc. And the mix between the two is absolutely the best. So Otto, we're talking about voice clearly on the consumer side for e-commerce. I always like to say that consumer is, it's a sexy stuff to talk about. But there's also a ton of opportunity for any technology and sometimes more. And I argue voice might be in this situation on the business side. What's your view of voice on the B2B or the business side?
That's an excellent point. I think it's great that there is so much like discussion and buzz around the commercial applications of voice technology, and the whole voice community overall owes a huge favor to the big companies, the big tech companies, the Apples, the Amazons, the Samsungs of this world, who have really popularized this technology for the masses there. But it's still the commercialization of this technology is still at its infancy. And at the same time, we're seeing extremely interesting things happening on the B2B side. So I would even say that the kind of the commercial killer application for voice will probably emerge from the business side. And why is this so? I think it's pretty obvious when you kind of think of it. We were talking about the digital transformation before. So companies have already now been kind of digitalizing their processes, and every single process and workflow is controlled by some kind of information processes, information flows. If you look at the cost structures of companies, I would argue that like the vast majority of the cost structure is controlled by information processes, where information flows are actually, you know, doing the optimization. And as there is more and more information that is constantly being captured and collected from the different parts of these operational processes, and it's been leveraged in other parts of the operational processes, so there is a huge need for being very efficient in capturing information. That being said, if you look at the workforces and where do people actually work, quite surprisingly, there is a majority of the workforce that actually works without the desk and works somewhere on the move, on the field. And the opportunity where I see the most dramatic or kind of disruptive impact of voice technology happening in the short term. You know, there are a lot of people there. Think about industrial workers, logistics workers, salespeople, real estate agents, medical personnel, you know, technicians, field workers, agricultural workers. There's plenty of different professions here that for us coming from the tech scene sometimes might feel a bit distant. But actually, that's the majority of the workforce, quite surprisingly. And that's where there are these people who work with their expertise, typically somewhere on the move with their hands, and they are required today to capture huge amounts of information to feed the information processes, to feed the ERP, so that the information processes and the ERPs can actually optimize the work that they're doing. And they are also required to have very specific information in their hands when they are actually, you know, working there on the field. So that's definitely an area where voice and multimodal voice type of experiences will have a dramatic transformational effect. And there's two main, let's say, user task type of use cases for these ones. One is when the workers are there, you know, and they need to find some information, some values, some information, locations, contact details, whatever, you know, and they need to find it out. Nowadays, today, they would need to go to their, you know, go back to the office, find their, have some papers with them, have, you know, computer, tablet with their mobile device. And they then start, you know, stop what they're doing, and then they start logging in, clicking, touching, and swiping, and typing, and whatever. And it takes huge amounts of time for them to really find the information if they really want to find it. That can be, of course, replaced by a simple voice search where you know, they just, you know, ask what they want, and they get the information instantly. And the other type of use case where the deskless workforce will benefit hugely from a voice technology experience is when they need to capture this information to feed the information processes and the ERP beast in a way. And instead of having to take their gloves off and logging into their devices and start typing or whatever, they can just speak. And with a multimodal approach, they can have a wrist computer, a small screen, and they can see, you know, they can confirm immediately that they were understood correctly, or they can immediately fix it if there were some issues. For example, in some noisy environments, there might be some issues and something might need to be fixed. They can do it immediately and feed the beast and then continue on with their work. And the productivity improvements of this one are huge. The opportunities is really, really massive, because you can make these workers twice as efficient and effective in their work. You can capture more information. You can ensure that the quality of the information you have captured is a lot higher. And imagine what you can do with that, larger amounts of higher quality data in actually optimizing your operational processes.
I think you're so right. It struck me, there's this saying that data is the 21st century version of oil. And if we're going to collect all this data, we got to make it easy. And it struck me as you're talking, what you're really saying is all these people who are about and around, not sitting at a desk in front of technology, when they have to interact with technology, it's actually a distraction. It actually takes away from their job. And yet we know that we take the data of what they're doing and they can and analyze it and feed it back to them, we can make them better at their jobs. So how do you do that in a way that doesn't distract them? Wow, that's a huge, huge opportunity. And I share with you the belief that probably the killer voice app people talk about, the angry birds of voice, is probably going to be on the business side or already exists and is emerging on the business side and really will be the breakthrough that propels it forward.
Yes. And that's not something you typically read in the front page newspaper, so to speak, in the headlines. Because this is, in a way, competitive advantage for companies who are able to actually make their processes more efficient. So they might be willing to share some parts of it, but at the end of the day, that is their magic sauce. That's their secret. And they might not be willing to share everything they already know in this space. And I know that many companies are working on some really interesting things in these fields, with different technologies, some with speech, some with other technologies. And when these will be brought to the public, there will be some really interesting stuff gonna be announced. So, but like I said, these are typically not the first things to be announced. These things that drive operational efficiencies.
Yeah, but you're right. There's a lot of innovation behind the firewall, so to speak, that happens that we don't see or eventually leaks out. We see that. The other thing that struck me as you're talking, and it's, wow, I'd never thought about this, but all of us sitting in technology jobs and that, our jobs, we sit at a desk in front of our computer almost the whole day. So we're used to compute being right in front of us. So we don't really understand the person who's out there, the salesperson who's out there, the real estate agent, the guy in the factory floor who's out there. Their needs are completely different. And I think there's some blindness in the tech industry because you know what's in front of you. But if you're not out there in the field doing those jobs, you don't understand what the needs are there. And so, yeah, there's a lot of grand opportunity there. Otto, so you painted this grand vision of where voice can go. What are the big hurdles right now that we need to overcome to get us? I wouldn't even say get there, because I don't think there's a there. I think advance forward and use voice more and more to our advantage and to make us more efficient and more human.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would even say that it's already been a couple of years where the hurdle has not been on the kind of the core technology in kind of the accuracy and those ones. Those are in a way solved problems already. But I would say that the biggest hurdle is a user experience related hurdle. So it's really about finding these novel ways of how to use these multimodal technologies and multimodal new user interaction approaches in solving a wide range of different problems. So I would even say that it's really about, because we've done at Speechly, we've done a lot of user experience research in multimodal interfaces and finding best practices, really trying to do that. And despite the fact that we worked a lot on this one, there is so much more to be done on that area. And we have just scratched the surface on certain use cases. And every time we find a good use case where this multimodal UI approach works really well, it's always there is a kind of 3 to 5x improvement in the kind of like efficiency and the speed of the solution of being able to solve the problem using a voice technology. And these kinds of use cases are everywhere. So now I would see that it's more a kind of a user experience hurdle. So how to engage with teams actively trying to solve problems and make their users faster, more efficient, and how to open the perspectives or the minds of the teams actually working with these topics that, hey, we never thought that voice could actually be a solution for this kind of problem, but it actually could. And I think that's the biggest hurdle. And we've already done a dramatic leap in the consumer side, in the kind of awareness of voice technologies. But now the next big hurdle is then by bringing that to the kind of business side and to the kind of professionals, you know, designing these experiences and kind of them realizing, you know, what opportunities lies when you design a solution to a problem using a multimodal approach rather than a traditional, either a kind of like GUI-based approach or a conversational approach. But when you actually bring these together in a unified way, that calls for a novel way of solving this user experience problem. And I think that's the biggest hurdle now where I would see that the industry should be focusing a lot, because that's where I absolutely believe that we will see the biggest, at least the commercial killer application emerging from that space.
Yeah, I've often said to people who talk about voice, I think some of the greatest opportunities are not on the technology side necessarily, but they're on the design side, conversational design, or maybe it's multimodal design.
Yeah.
And thinking about that and thinking of how that works and how that can really work well. And as you're talking, I was thinking of kind of the business process and business analysts and understanding this process and then understanding voice and kind of marrying the two and understanding where you can make them work. I agree with you. We have this technology. It can do amazing things. There's a lot of things that need to advance and will advance with the technology. But how can we best leverage it is kind of the big question sitting out there. You want to jump into voice, start looking in that area, because I think there's huge opportunities to marry existing processes with this new tech and say, where is voice an answer or not an answer, right? It's always a question of what does it do or not, or more multimodality, actually, truly. I keep on saying voice, but what you're focused on, right, is situational modality. What's the best modality to get the work done or that to happen. I want to change gears a little bit and ask you tactically, if I am a developer or someone interested in what I'm hearing about Speechly, how do I get started? What can I do with Speechly today?
Yes, very good question. So we packaged our technology into a developer suite that includes all the tools that a developer or a product team needs to actually embed voice functionalities into their products. And those products or projects can be on any platform. They can range from a web or from web to mobile, or from like server to embedded, from online to offline. Basically, as long as there is a microphone or a CPU, then they can tap into the Speechly functionalities. And to get started, quite simply, you can go to the Speechly website, speechly.com, and find a nice get started button there, which will then lead you to our basically developer onboarding process where you're able to start using Speechly immediately. And typically it takes a couple of minutes to start, you know, registering and starting to use Speechly. Of course, there is some familiarization to be done. Typically, I would say that a spike takes a couple of hours for a developer to do, and a proof of concept takes a couple of days to do. So it's as simple as that. So
awesome. Yeah, well, we will definitely have those links to, you mentioned the e-commerce demo for Speechly. I'll put that in the show notes, and then Speechly itself. But yeah, check it out. There's some cool stuff in there, not only to get started, but I think you have some thought leadership things specifically, and it spoke to me, your e-commerce demo. I think that was great because that it starts sparking those ideas, as we talked about, of, okay, what do I do with voice? And that's so important. So one question I like as I'm kind of wrapping up with guests is for a guest to share their, I'll call it the hidden gem question. And really, what's some voice experience? Could be voice, could be a podcast, something you use and you really love and you wish more people knew about?
Yes, excellent question. Quite like, honestly, the voice experience I use most is something that is built on top of Speechly. Unfortunately, I have to give this kind of an answer, but it is the truth that this is the voice experience I use by far the most. And this is something that I would very much want to share with people, but unfortunately, it is currently only available in Finnish. It's a grocery shopping application that is built with Speechly that allows you to do your grocery shopping online or offline. And it's just super amazing. So I use it with my wife. So whenever, you know, I go back from work, I'm walking back home from work, and I call my wife that, do you need something from the store? And she starts listing, yeah, we need bread. And I'm like, no, just put it in our list. And then she just, you know, speaks to the application. We have connected a shopping list. So then she just speaks to the application. And then when I'm at the store, I can see what products there are. And it's very easy. You can just list everything you want to. And when you are at the store, you can swipe them off that like picked up, or you can then just purchase them directly online. And it's pretty cool because I also use it when I'm, you know, out with my friends. When we are at the hunting trip or some other trip with my friends, then we always need to figure out, so what do we eat day one, breakfast day two? So how do we plan our menu and our foods? And we usually do it so that we have a beers in our hands, and then I have my phone on my hand, and then I just keep speaking, you know, how much beer, how much meat, how much whatever. And that's something that I personally love a lot. And I know it's a bit unfair to say that you love something that is built by Speechly, but it's just, you know, this is basically something that I use it more than Siri or Alexa. So,
well, I can tell you, I want that. And funny, you got me laughing. It passes that, you know, I call it the family test. Because when I get excited about a tech, I ask my wife to try it, and I ask my two teenage daughters to try it, because they're the biggest skeptics, because they're not in the technology. So if it works for them and they like it, then that works. So if this works for your wife, that's a good test there. But yeah, that sounds super cool. I would love to have something like that, a conversational thing to create a grocery list and actually go shopping. I haven't seen much of that, so that's okay. It's not cheating. It's eating your own dog food.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
Do that. All right, Otto. So prediction time. I'd like to ask a couple prediction questions. What is short-term prediction? Next year or two, what's a prediction you have for this industry?
I think that in the next year or two, we will actually see some mainstream press releases, or let's say we will see in mainstream media some examples of these business voice-powered use cases. There hasn't been that many out there in the public, but there are a lot that are in the works. So my prediction is that in the next 1 or 2 years, we will actually be reading a lot more about these kinds of use cases and the value that they're creating. I don't dare say that they would capture more mind share than the consumer use cases, because there's a lot of heavyweight like behind those use cases. But I would say that they will be starting to control bigger and bigger parts of the mind share. So that would be my short to midterm prediction.
All right. How about ask you to really rub your crystal ball and give you the 5 or 10 year prediction?
So my 5 or 10 year prediction is that there is no more voice industry. so that is quite rough to say in this kind of a discussion. But what I mean with that one is that voice will become so commonplace, and it will become just a integrated modality. It will just be so natural part of every single interface there is, that there is no need for a separate kind of voice industry. But there will be user experience industries, design industries, and all kind of functions that are working with them. And, you know, they have in their toolbox, they've had keyboard, they've had mouse, they have touchscreen, and they will have voice. And it's a bit like there is no touchscreen, touch designers industry, or there's like in a similar way, it will become ubiquitous. So that I think is pretty a big thing that will happen. And I also think that there will be two groups of use cases emerging that will be extremely commonplace. There will be the kind of like voice assisted or assistant use cases where voice is a great. There will be these assistants that are really like more coming closer to a general assistant, that you're like giving tasks and they execute the tasks with you. So that's one part. So those assistants will become so smart that they are actually becoming assistants, like you would actually have somebody that would run errands for you. But at the same time, there is this other side of the kind of revolution that is happening on the user interface side. And that means that every single user interface, website, application, car, physical device will have a voice functionality embedded in it, because it's just so natural and intuitive. And it's just part of a UI. It's nothing, you know, special about it. It's voice. What's so special about it? There's nothing that's special about the screen or a touchscreen nowadays. It's just a technology enabler. It's more about the user experience. So we will be talking less about the technology enablers and more about the user experience. That's at least where I believe the world is going.
I actually love that, saying the industry will go away. It strikes me, some of the best career advice I've ever gotten is that you want to move forward, you eliminate yourself, make yourself redundant. And maybe as an industry, you want to move the industry forward, make the industry redundant. What you're saying is make voice so mainstream that you don't talk about it as a separate thing. It's just an expected part of how we interact with technology. I think that would be a fabulous outcome. Well, I'll tell you what, I tell all my guests, we're going to have to get together in 5 or 10 years over a drink or two and look all back our predictions and see how right or wrong we were. So you need to plan on that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Roger, I will invite you to Finland, to visit Finland, and we can have the debriefing of the predictions here, and we will have a great time.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, before we started, we were talking about I'd spent some time in Sweden when I was a young kid, so up that way, but I have not made it to Finland, and I've heard it's so beautiful. So, yes. All right. So I need, regardless whether it's in 5 or 10 years and things, I look forward to, I owe you a few drinks in Finland. Let's leave it at that.
Sounds great. Roger, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And before we leave, if listeners want to keep in touch with what Speechly is doing or what you're doing, Otto, what's the best way to do so?
So, of course, you should first check speechly.com to read about it. You can reach me directly at otto@speechly.com. Happy to share any ideas, exchange thoughts, so feel free to contact me. You can follow me on Twitter, Otto Söderlund. You can follow Speechly on Twitter, Speechly API. You can follow us on LinkedIn, and I would love to exchange ideas and talk to the audience. So feel free, don't hesitate, just be in touch. We're happy to share thoughts and discussions.
Awesome, awesome. And I'll put all that in the show notes. And you know, Otto, I think we met a couple months ago. We had these conversations, and it struck me, it's so fascinating and interesting talking to you about what you're doing and your experience. I want to share this with more people. So I was like, I got to have you as a guest on my podcast. And it has been fascinating. I think I could have talked to you for hours on end. But for the sake of everyone, we kept it a little shorter than that. But thank you. Thank you so much. It's so fun and interesting and always thought-provoking to talk to you. So thanks a lot, Otto.
Thank you so much, Roger, for having me. I've always enjoyed a lot your discussions. You have a very bright mind and very sharp questions, and I really enjoy the time. I'm really looking forward for our beers first there, then here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Likewise. All right. Well, that's all, folks. Till next time, this is Roger Kibbe of the Bixby Developers Chat Podcast signing off.